Can you hear me? All right, good. If you would, turn to Psalm 42. And again, thank you for having me back. Always good to be here. This last week I was teaching class and talking about the longings that we have. And got thinking more about this. I usually just quote Psalm 42, 1 and 2, and I thought I would like to look at the whole chapter, and so I did some research on that, went to Bible Teaching Notes online with Omar Garcia, and took some material from him, and I always like to tweak it and sort of make it my own. But I thought that's what I would talk about today. I talked about it in class, and I just think it would be a good thing to talk about what we deeply long for. Sometimes we're not always aware of that, but then at other times we are aware of those longings. So we're going to talk about that today. Before we get into Psalm 42, though, just a little bit of background. Many people believe David is the author of this psalm, which is true for many of the psalms. It was probably written during the time of Absalom's rebellion. Anybody know what happened with Absalom, who was his son? Anybody know back in 2 Samuel what happened with that event or that time period? Anybody know anything about Absalom and David? Have you heard the story? I always like to do this like a classroom, so feel free to talk. Anybody know what happened with Absalom? Yeah, his own son. Now what happened? You talk about a dysfunctional family, okay? I'm a counselor, so I talk about dysfunctional families. But Amnon actually raped his half-sister, who was Absalom's sister. And so Absalom said, I'm going to take care of that. And I think it was like a 4-year kind of setup, but eventually killed his own half-brother. David didn't handle that so well, okay, with his own son. Well, it didn't handle what happened with the rape, didn't handle what happened with murder. And eventually Absalom turned on his dad and took the kingdom from him. Right? So what we have here is probably David going into exile. He's fleeing Jerusalem when he's writing this psalm. I just want you to kind of get that as a background of what's going on here. So you have a man who's been oppressed by his enemies, by his own son. People who were part of his kingdom have turned against him. Okay? And even some of his friends are saying, you know, God's forsaken you. Where's God now? So this is kind of what he's going through. And you hear the struggles of a man in the midst of adversity. You hear both sides. You hear faith and you hear doubt. You hear despair and you hear hope. So you're hearing a man who's going through a lot right now. You think not only with his family, but losing his kingdom. And he's fleeing. Probably fleeing for his own life and going into exile. In fact, if you jump down to verse 6, it talks about in the land of the Jordan. So he's probably coming to the outskirts of his kingdom and going into exile and realizing, kind of looking back and saying, this is what I'm losing. Everything that I had is now gone. So, with that as a background, backdrop. Look at verses 1 and 2. We're just going to take a couple verses at a time and talk about it. And I want to cut out what's the takeaway from each of these. As a deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? You hear this intense longing for God. As a deer in a season of drought, looking for water, just panting, looking for something to quench that thirst. And it's a longing that no human can satisfy. I want you to hear that. It's a longing that no human can satisfy. There's a guy years ago named Pascal said that we all have in us a God-shaped void, a God-shaped blank. There's something in us that longs for God. Why is that? Why is it we have this God-shaped blank God-shaped void in our life, that this deep longing for God. Why do you think that's in there? He created us that way. And He created us. It's interesting that we are dependent creatures. We will need something. We will long for something. And He said, I'm going to create in you a longing for Me that only I can satisfy. Now, why is it people who don't believe in God, they would say, I don't believe in that. What happens to that longing? Try to fill it with other things. Okay, we're going to talk about that. I still have the longing, don't I? I can say, I don't need God. I'm going to go my own. I don't care about God. I don't believe any of that. But you still have a deep longing for God. Okay, so you can't get rid of this. It's in there. The question is, how will you try to fill that? So that's what we're going to look at today. And I actually have a couple things I'm going to do. Draw on the board, and then I have a little analogy here I'm going to use in a moment. Object lesson. But Larry Crabb talks about three types of longings. The middle one here is what he calls crucial longings. Can you see the professor in me? I just have to go to the board here. Very important. Crucial longings. We have longings for God. Our deepest longings are longings for God. So we see this in Psalm 42 and Psalm 63, other places in the Bible. In fact, Jesus talked about this. If you're hungry, what? Come to Me, I'm the bread of life. If you're thirsty, come to Me, I'm the spring of eternal water. What he's saying is, you have longings down deep. They're spiritual longings. They're longings for something more. They're longing for something bigger than yourself. You may not even be aware of it, but it's in there. We're going to go somewhere with these longings. But then there's something Crabb calls critical longings. And this is longings for people. And I'm glad Fakey talked about that, a community. And that was perfect what you read today, because that was... There's God just working it out here. Critical longings. We need one another. We need people. The Bible says, what? Genesis 2:18. What did He say to Adam? When Adam was by himself. Not good for you to be alone. Wait a minute, you're in paradise. Everything was perfect back then. And He says something's not good. What is it? It's not good that you're alone. I will make someone for you. It says in Hebrews, don't forsake the meeting together, the assembly, the meeting together. Don't forsake that. Why? Well, because you just want to hear a good sermon and have some music. No, that's not. Why does He say it's not good to avoid meeting together? He goes on to talk about what is this for? It's for the building one another up. We need each other. We need words of encouragement. We need prayer. We need people in our lives. Now, do we need it in the same way that we need God? No. I mean, God, we have to have Him. We don't have God, we don't have anything. Okay? But people are critical in that we're not meant to be on islands and be by ourselves. We're meant to be in community. We're meant to love one another, take care of one another. Very important. But then he talks about casual longings. We long for things to go well. I long to be healthy. I want my bills to be paid. I long for comfort. Sometimes when you walk in a room, you go, where would I like to sit today? Well, I'll pick a place that's most comfortable. Nothing wrong with that. Okay? So, obviously not on the same level as people. Not on the same level of God, but still they're longings that we have. So, here's my object lesson for today. All right. I have a cup here, and at the top, if all of you can see, I have casual at the top. Everybody see casual? All right. Critical in the middle. And crucial at the bottom. All right. Now, I want you to imagine a cup with no bottom. Okay? That would be living life as if there's no God. Then I don't need God. So if I don't believe in God, I don't believe. So imagine if you're looking there, you're looking down in the bottom of the cup. All right, that picture up here, you're looking down in the bottom of the cup, and it looks something like that. All right? If I don't have the bottom of the cup, what am I going to do? I don't need God, but I'm still dependent. I need something. So what am I going to do? Try to fill it with. Make sense? I'm going to go to people. You're going to be God for me. Okay? I'm going to get married and say to my wife, you're going to be God for me. This happens a lot of times in marriage. I'm going to give you the wonderful opportunity to be God for me the rest of my life. And you're going to make me happy. And she's going, well, wait a minute. I'm going to give you the wonderful opportunity of being God in my life. And then we find out somehow it doesn't work real well. Because I wasn't created to be God for my wife. Right? So, we have these critical longings. So, what happens when we continually go to people and say, be God for me. Make life work for me. We get disappointed. Okay? How does it feel when I keep pouring in more and more people into my life and saying, you be God for me and you make me happy? I feel empty. Make sense? The more I pour in, the more it pours out. And so I think I have to keep pouring more in. I got to keep going to more people. But eventually I get to a place where, you know what? People fail me. People can't be God for me. Even the best of people aren't going to be everything that I want. So I may give up on people. Right? People hurt me. People let me down. People reject me. So then where would I go? Well, let's go to the next one. What would I do? How do I live my life? What's that? Fill it with stuff. Okay? Get lots of possessions. What else do people sometimes do when people aren't working for them so well? How can I fill up my life? Okay? Get addicted to something. Alcohol, and if you know, if you work with addictions, that alcohol and drugs actually become a relationship. It's a love relationship. They're always there for me. They always give me what I want. They always take pain away. Why wouldn't I want to be in a relationship with this? I mean, this. And yet, what we don't realize is the more I pour that into my life, the more addicted I become, guess how I feel? The more empty I feel. And so people start pouring in more and more and more and more and feel less and less full. Their lives become more and more empty. So, the object lesson for today, what do we need? We need the bottom of the cup. Okay? And here's the cool thing. When I have the bottom of the cup, when I realize God is what I need more than anything, when I really feel that, God gives me everything I need at the crucial level, then when I am enjoying people, and I'm with people, and even when people hurt me sometimes, what can I do? Or what can I feel? Or what can happen? I can still be full. Isn't that cool? Even when life lets me down, I don't get everything I want. I don't have all the possessions that I hope for. When I don't have all the comfort that I'm looking for, I can still be full. I can appreciate what I do have. And I don't say I have to have more and more and more. And here's the cool part. When I feel full, eventually I can overflow, what? Into the lives of others. Now that I have enough, isn't that cool? When I have enough from God, I can enjoy my relationships more, be thankful for what I have in terms of possessions and comfort, and then I can say, oh, I want to give some of this away to you. Given what He's given to me. Without the bottom of the cup, can't do any of that. I'm always going to live my life like grasping, needy, dependent. I got to have you. I got to have things. I have to have whatever it is. And for some people, I don't like people anymore, so I'm going to go to animals. I'm going to have lots of pets. So I'm going to, whatever it is, I'm going to find something to fill, hobbies, something to fill my life and make me okay. Make life work. And God says the only way to make life work bottom of the cup. You got to have me if you want to feel full. That's how I created you. Does that make sense? Any questions on that before I move on? Because I just think that's real important we get that this is how God created us. And if we don't do this in the right order, then we have problems. Okay? We're always going to be searching for something and not knowing why we don't feel full, why we're not finding it. Another thing in these first two verses, David was separated from his people, his palace, his possessions. So you think about it, critical longings not met, possessions gone, yet he didn't express a desire for these things. He didn't say, Lord, give me back my possessions, please. Give me back my people, the people that used to love me, and I want those relationships back again. Give me back the kingdom, my palace, my job. He didn't pray for any of that. Not that it's not wrong to pray for those things at times. But what is it he said to God? I want you. I want your presence. I want your person. So what's the takeaway from the first two verses? Our longings reveal our priorities. Our longings reveal our priorities. When you're hurting, where will you go? I know sometimes where I go. I go to people, or I try to fix the situation. When we're hurting, where's the first place we go? When I'm praying, what do I pray for? Do I pray, God, make the circumstances better? Or do I say, Lord, may I know you better? Can I feel your presence right now? I want you more than I want things from you. I think that's what David's trying to say here. As a deer pants for streams of water, my soul pants for you, Lord. I want you more than anything else. Verses 3 to 4. My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with a multitude leading a procession to the house of God with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. David is experiencing intense grief and sorrow. Some people are saying, where's God? He's forsaken you. I mean, look what's happened in your life. Don't people say that sometimes? Would God allow this in your life? If there's a God, what's He doing? And it's sort of tempting him. And yet, look what his response is. I will pour out my soul to God. I just want to take some time to think about that. God, when we're going through tough times, wants you to pour out your soul to Him. He doesn't deny. He doesn't minimize. He doesn't act like everything's okay. He does what? I'm going to let God know exactly what I'm feeling. I'm going to pour out my soul to Him. Why? Because God wants to know what we're feeling. God wants to know what's going on in our life. I mean, He already knows, but He wants to hear from us. And David remembers better times. He remembers a time of the joy, when there's a joy of the Lord. And so the takeaways here, our longings are felt most deeply in the midst of pain and suffering. First takeaway, our longings are felt most deeply in the midst of pain and suffering. Isn't that true? When things aren't going well, I'm really in touch with, I need something. I don't realize I need God. And maybe I'm really in touch with what's going on with my relationships or with comfort in my life, whatever it is. I'm really aware of those longings in my life. And the other one is remembering better times in the past can help our present pain. Remembering better times. Remembering that, you know what? There was a time when God got me through. And if that's true, is He going to get me through this time? My mother used to say this to me time and time again. I'll never forget this. This too shall pass. She would say that to me a lot. And you know, it's true. This too shall pass. And you know what? God's going to bring you through this one. Remember how He's brought you through the other ones? He's going to bring you through this one too. So, David's remembering better times. All right, verses 5 through 8. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you from the land of Jordan, from the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of the waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day the Lord directs His love, at night His song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. Why are you downcast, O my soul? The word downcast is the idea of despair, depression, being just weighted down by grief and sorrow. You hear a disturbed, agitated, and troubled mind. David's going through a lot. Well, again, with that background, you can imagine what he's going through. But jump to verse 7 here. Deep calls to deep. I just want to spend a little time here. The deep things of God will call to the deep places in us when we're going through pain and suffering. Let me say that again. The deep things of God will call to the deep things in us when we're going through pain and suffering. What do I mean by that? How does God, the deep things of God, sort of call to the deep places in us when we're hurting? What does that mean? This is the part where you get to talk now. What do you think that means? Yeah. Yeah.
It's more real than what we're going through, what we think we're going through, or how we're feeling at the moment. We're made to be like Him and to persevere like Him.
Yeah, absolutely. Good. Great. I think when we're going through difficult times, this is where God says, oh, by the way, this is what you really long for. Okay? This is the only thing that matters. I'm here. And I love you. And I want to give you meaning, purpose to your life. I want to give you everything you deeply long for. And I'm going to call to you. I think C.S. Lewis said it best, pain is God's megaphone to rouse a deaf world. I love that. Pain is God's megaphone to rouse a deaf world. Pain is a way of saying, I'm here and I'm the only thing that really matters. Will you come to me? And pain can take us in one of two directions, right? Either pain can lead me toward God and say, I'm dependent and I need you, or pain says, you know what? No good God would allow this to happen. I'm out of here. And we've seen that with people, right? We've seen it go in one of two directions. And so what faith really says is, do I believe, even though it doesn't make any sense right now, do I believe God really is enough? And God is good and He will see me through this. And when we're going through suffering, it has a way of saying, what's your faith really made of? Will you come to me or will you run away from me? Deep calls to deep. How will you respond? I think that's what David's trying to say here. And then he talks about the waves and breakers have swept over me. We'll talk about that in a moment. By day, the Lord directs His love. At night, His song is within me. Why does he talk about at night? There's a song within me. What happens for you at night? I know what happens to me. What happens for you at night? What's that? Resting? Okay. You dream? What happens in a negative way at night? I don't know about you, but it happens for me. And I know sometimes it happens for kids too. They say, kids in here, I wonder if it ever happens for them at night. What happens sometimes at night when it's dark and I hear things outside? Or just things run through my head. I don't know about you, but that's when my anxiety closet is open. Does that ever happen for you? At night, you tend to think about what happened during the day, and maybe it didn't go so well. You think about tomorrow and all the things I have to do, and I wonder if I'm going to get it done. Then you go, I better get to sleep, but I can't sleep now because my mind is racing. At night is a great time for the anxiety closet to be open. What does he mean by a song in the night? Do any of you mothers ever sing to your children at night? Anybody do that? Okay. And fathers too. Sorry about that. But fathers sing too. I know my mother sang to me. My dad didn't sing to me. Why? Why do mothers and fathers sing to their children at night? What's that? It's comforting. It's calming. What is he saying here? The takeaway, God will give you a song at night. Isn't that cool? God wants to come to you. He wants to say, oh, by the way, I'm here. I meet the deepest longings of your heart. I love you. I want to give purpose to your life. And by the way, I'm going to sing to you tonight to let you know it's all taken care of. I'm here. You don't have to worry about the bad guys. You don't have to worry about the boogeyman. I'm here. And I want you to know I'm going to take care of you. Just cool to think God gives us songs in the night. All right, verses, where are we at? 9 through 11. It says, I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go on mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. God is our rock. And he talks about the waves coming in. I want you to just picture now. My guess is you've probably been to the ocean, right, at times? Picture the waves coming in. Picture them crashing in. And there's a big boulder on the shore. Can you see it in your mind? And the waves are coming in and they completely cover the boulder. You can't see it. It's a storm. So it comes crashing in and now the waves going back into the ocean. What do you see? It's still there. You go, but it was totally enveloped. It looks like the thing over, the rock is still there. That's what God is saying. You are my rock. When the waves of life roll in, crash in, when the waves of life are to where I feel are overwhelming and I can't, you're my rock. You provide everything I really need. See, pain and suffering have a way of saying, is God really enough? Make sense? Is God really enough? We can all say, oh yeah, my theology says God's enough. You know, He's God, He's sovereign, He's good. But it's not until we go through the pain of life we go, do I really believe that? Is He enough? Is He my rock? Is He the first one I go to? Is He the first one I pray to? So David might have felt forgotten, but he knows differently. And he says, I choose to put my hope in God. His faith is actually strengthened in the midst of doubt, fear, and pain. Takeaway, God never forgets nor forsakes, even when it feels like He does. Even when it feels like He's gone and He doesn't care. He's saying, you know what? I'm still here. And I'm still going to give you everything you need, not everything you want. I'm going to give you everything you need to get through this. I am enough. So, let's wrap up. We will have times of deep pain and suffering. The waves will come crashing in at times. We will have people who say, give up on God. We have people who disappoint us. People who won't be there and support us when we need them. People who might even tempt us to don't follow God. Don't believe in God. I mean, He doesn't really care. Look what's going on in your life. We need to remember that God will never leave us nor forsake us. And nothing can separate us from His love. Because down deep, what I really long for, I want to be loved. And God says, nothing will separate you from my love. Romans chapter 8. Nothing. You always have it. You're looking for love? I'll give it to you. You're looking for meaning and purpose to life? I'll give it to you. It'll never be taken away. at the crucial level, you have everything you absolutely need. Then you're freed up to what? I can enjoy my relationships more, and I can enjoy my life more without being grasping and demanding and needing more. So like David, let's work at longing for Him and longing for Him only. Even though it's okay to long for these, but in a crucial sense, let's go to God first. All right, let me pray. Father, thank You so much for this reminder that You really are, You're it. You're the bottom of the cup. You're what we're looking for. You're what we're created for. And sometimes it's not until life isn't going well that we realize that maybe we don't have the bottom of the cup or we've forgotten what we have. I pray for all of us in here, we would remember what we really have in You. And like David, we would come to You first and not try to fix everything and get everything that we want, but just to realize that maybe You want to meet us in a new way. You want to let us know that You're really here. You love us. And You meet all of our longings at the most crucial level. Thank You for that. Thank You for this reminder. Thank You for the songs that You give us in the night, that everything really is okay because we're in You. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.